Amen. Thank you, Hayden and Ryan, for leading us in worship this morning. We're in Romans chapter 12 this morning. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, Romans chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 17 through 21 as we continue in this little mini-series in Romans, True Love Must. We're actually beginning part 4 of this mini-series. And in verses 9 through 21, like we've talked about before, Paul provides this list of attitudes and actions that lead to a well-loved and a well-lived life. And as we mentioned last week, these attitudes and these actions oftentimes go against our human nature, literally to the point that they can only come from and be enabled by the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Okay, so here's Paul's whole list. I'm going to start back at verse 9 because I'm going to refer to verse 9 in the sermon this morning. So let's go back to verse 9 and we'll start there. Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, he's saying this is what love looks like if it's genuine. This is what true love looks like. And then he says this. He says, abhor what is evil. That means detest what is evil and cling to what is good. And so he's given us boundaries for these verses all the way down through 21. On one side is detest what is evil, and the other side is cling to what is good. Now, some people cling to what is sinful and ignore what is right and good, all in the name of love. There's some very popular songs that kind of carry this theology, that you cling to what is sinful and you ignore what is righteous and you ignore what is good because you're in love. And Paul says that's not genuine love. Paul says true love, genuine love, always detests what is evil, not the person, but the, and we'll talk about that in a minute, what that looks like to separate the two. But true love, love without hypocrisy, always detests what is evil and clings to what is good. And then he says in verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love and give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. And then he says this, bless those who persecute you, bless them and do not curse them. Bless those who persecute you, bless them and do not curse them. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice. We talked about this last week. And weep with those who weep. And be of the same mind towards one another. And really what he's talking here, when you go back and you study the passage, he's talking about don't play favorites. Don't have favorites. Love everyone the same and treat everyone the same. Do not be haughty or arrogant in your mind, but associate with the lowly. And do not be wise in your own estimation. That's a dangerous place to be, by the way, is when you're wise in your own estimation, because that's pride. And pride's a very dangerous thing. And today we're going to look at 17 through 21, where Paul says, never, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. And we'll see why he says that here in a minute. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone, but respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible. So far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. And then the last verse, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow, there's a lot right there, right? I mean, my whole family, me, Andrea, Becky, Jake, and Ryan have been talking about this passage all week. Texting back and forth about this passage all week because there's a lot right there. And I promise you, from my own human nature, I can't do any of that 17 through 21 stuff, right? The Holy Spirit has to come in. Well, the Holy Spirit's already in John chapter 3, but the Holy Spirit has to enable me to do these things or I'd never get there on my own. And so in verses 17 through 21, Paul's talking about those who persecute us. And the fundamental principle in this passage is found in the first verse, verse 17, and the last verse, verse 21. So look at verse 17 in your notes. He says, never, never pay back evil to anyone. Underline that in your notes. Never pay back evil to anyone. And then circle the word never because it's absolutely critical to the life of the believer that we follow these instructions. You're going to see why here in a minute. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Underline that and circle the word never. And then he says, respect what is right in the sight of all men. And then in verse 12, 21, he says something that's really interesting. He says, do not be overcome by evil, but, listen to this, overcome evil with good. Underline that in your notes. Oh, that's critical for the life of the believer. If you're going to have peace and joy and successful relationships, these verses are critical for you and I to understand. He says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome, circle the word overcome, and then underline the rest of that phrase, overcome evil with good. Now, it's important to note that the word that's used here for the word overcome is actually a military term meaning to overpower. And so God is telling us never pay back evil for evil and thus be overpowered. Listen to what he's saying. Never pay back evil for evil and thus be overpowered by evil, but overpower evil with good. And so number one in your notes, the only way to overpower evil is to love, forgive, and do good to the evildoer. The only way to overpower evil is to love, forgive, and do good to the evildoer. Now, don't check out on me yet, because there may be some of you, you don't know where I've been or what I've gone through, or you don't know where I'm going through right now. So hang in there with me for a few minutes, because there are some boundaries, and we're going to talk about some of those boundaries in a minute. But for now, God is telling us that whenever we, this is critical, please don't miss this. Whenever we repay evil for evil, we immediately lose the battle with evil. Why? Because we immediately get sucked into this cycle of evil ourselves. And so God's word teaches us, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Put another way, the only way to overpower evil when it comes into your life is to overpower it with good. Because the minute you start hating and resenting, the minute you start hating and resenting the person who has wronged you, evil has won the battle. I'll never forget this. Again, the minute you start hating and resenting the person who's wronged you, evil has won the battle in your heart. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. I'm at a football game, a Heiko football game, and I'm walking through the stands and a lady calls out to me, precious lady, calls out to me, and I walk up to her and I start talking to her and she said, would you please pray for me? And I said, yes, ma'am. What do you need me to pray for you about? And she said, my son is on the football field, and I know that he's doing the best that he can. He's not trying to mess up. But I'm hearing these people behind me say things about him. Can you imagine being a mom and being in that position? And she said, Would you please pray for me so that my heart won't be hardened towards them? And I said, amen. And I stopped right there and prayed for her. And I thought to myself, she gets it. This lady gets it. And so, bitterness, resentment, and retaliation always lead to a sour heart. Write that in your notes under number two. Bitterness, resentment, and retaliation always lead to a sour heart. When your heart is filled with these attitudes and these actions, bitterness, resentment, retaliation, when your heart is filled with those attitudes and those actions, you have become Satan's pawn in this battle for good and evil. I'm just being honest with you. When your heart gets to that point that it's filled with bitterness and filled with resentment and filled with this idea of retaliation against someone who's done you wrong, then you have joined the cycle of evil. You've become Satan's pawn in this battle for good and evil, and now he can use you right along with the other person. In other words, using evil to defeat evil always allows evil to win. But the Bible says that God's purpose is for us to separate the person from the evil. Because we are told all through Scripture that God detests evil, right? But we're also told all through Scripture that He loves all of us, even though we are evil. He loves all of us with an unconditional love, even though we are evil. And so God's purpose for us when we're in that kind of situation is to be like Jesus and separate the person from the evil and then show him or her, trusting in God, that He's sovereign and that He's the righteous judge and that He will repay those who need to be paid, and literally trusting in God to the point that we begin to show this person love, forgiveness, and kindness. That's a lot to swallow, amen? But I want to share two things that will result from this. A, you won't get sucked into the cycle of evil. Professional counselors call it the cycle of conflict, and they specifically are talking about marriage. I'm talking about pretty much any relationship right now, but they're specifically talking about marriage most of the time, where two people get sucked into this cycle of conflict and bitterness and resentment begins to build, and they look for ways to retaliate and get back at the other one. And this cycle, once you get sucked into that cycle of conflict, or the Bible calls it the cycle of evil, there's only one way to get out, and that's to do good. At some point, you have to say, I'm going to be the mature believer, and I'm going to do good regardless of what he or she does back to me. I'll never forget hearing about, I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, there's a great pastor in Dallas named Tony Evans. And when Tony Evans was little, his dad got saved. And his dad began reading the Bible every day, and his mom just persecuted his dad for it. And Tony says it was unreal. She would just wear him out. So he would get up super early, sneak downstairs so he could read the Bible in peace. And Tony said, you know, whenever she went off on my dad, he just returned it with good. And finally, Tony's mom comes to his dad and says, I don't get it. Every time I scream at you, yell at you, cuss at you, hate you, you return it with love. So he had the opportunity to explain to her why, and she got saved and turned her life over to Jesus Christ. So the first thing it does for you when you return good for evil is you don't get sucked into that cycle of evil. You keep your heart clean and soft, like this lady was wanting that I was praying with. And so when you return good for evil, it keeps you from being infected by the evil that's going on around you. And that's why this lady asked me to pray for her in the stands. She understood that she had to guard her heart from being infected and being hardened by evil. But then B in your notes, you may even stop the spread of evil in the heart of the wrongdoer. You may even stop the spread of evil in the heart of the wrongdoer, meaning the wrongdoer may be so affected by your love that it changes his or her heart. Look at verse 20. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, when you do good to your enemy, you need to be ready. Because how many people do you know actually want somebody heaping burning coals on their head? Right? Nobody I know. So don't expect a big thank you when you do good to your enemy. Don't expect a big thank you, but expect and pray that the Lord will begin to use your obedience to bring them to repentance. But even if that doesn't happen in your lifetime, and even if you don't see that take place, you have protected your heart from being infected by evil. And the Bible says in Proverbs 4:3, above all else, guard your heart, for it directs the course of your life. Above all else, guard your heart, for it determines, the Bible says, the course of your life. Okay, so practically speaking then, Chris, what does that look like? What does doing good to your enemy look like? I'm going to give you three things. First of all, don't stonewall the person. Write that in your notes under that bullet point. Don't stonewall the person. Look at verse 18. If possible, so as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Stonewalling is what professional counselors refer to when one person avoids another person as a form of payback. Now, many times they wouldn't say it's payback, but that's what it is, and men are great at stonewalling. Men are great at stonewalling when somebody offends them, especially in marriage. Women are just as good at it in other places, but men really tend to use stonewalling in marriage. And the Bible says, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. And so don't avoid another person so that you can make them pay for how they've offended you. Now, earlier I mentioned there's some boundaries for loving wisely, and I want to go back to that for a second. But I want to be careful here because I'm talking about relationships in general. So when I share these boundaries with you, don't go out of here and say, okay, Chris gave me permission to divorce my wife, because I did not. Or Chris gave me permission to leave my children. I did not. Those are very, very complex relationships that you need to get serious Christian counseling in before you go down that road. And so I'm talking about relationships in general. Look at verse 19. Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, and cling to what is good. And so this verse reminds us that for love to be genuine, love must be wise. For love to be real, it must be wise. Put another way, for love to be genuine, love must have boundaries. Because, Paul says, true love hates sin, but yet true love clings to what is good. Therefore, now listen to me very closely, when we enable someone to continually sin, and notice I use the word enabled, when we enable someone to continually sin, or when we enable someone to continually sin against us, we are not being wise. Because sincere love hates evil and clings to what is good. In other words, true love never clings to what is sinful and abusive. And sometimes people can be dangerous. Sometimes people can be dangerous to our physical health. Sometimes people can be dangerous to our mental health. And sometimes people can be dangerous to our spiritual well-being, literally to the point, listen to this, that staying in a relationship with that person is inviting them to continue to live in sin. To continue, it's enabling them to continue to sin against you. Therefore, the good that you can show them is to stay away from them. There are times that literally the good that you can show another person or the genuine love that you can show another person is to stay away from them so that they can finally be confronted with the consequences of their behavior. In fact, in some cases, the best love we can show another person is to discontinue the relationship with them since we enable them to continue in sin. And true love never enables sin. True love hates sin and clings to what is good. And so we need to be very careful here. We need to discern our motive for staying away. You don't want to run out of here and just say, I can never see you again. I mean, you need to be very careful to discern your motive for staying away. Are we staying away so we don't allow them to continue sinning against us, so we don't continue to enable this person to continue this sinful and destructive pattern in their life? Or are we stonewalling them? Because we're going to make them pay because they've offended us. And so don't stonewall the person. True love doesn't stonewall people to repay. True love, however, does remove itself from sin so that it can cling to what is good. And so instead of stonewalling, show them love through your words and your actions. Bullet point, the second bullet point in your notes. Instead of stonewalling a person, show them love through your words and your actions. Look at verse 20. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. Verse 14, look back at verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them and do not curse them. Years ago, two older and bigger boys were picking on my son. And it wasn't just words. It was getting physical. And I actually walked up on these two boys. He was coming home and telling me about it. And I walked up on these two boys in the parking lot and caught them in the act. So I suggested to my son, you know what? Why don't you and I start praying for how the Lord would want us to handle this? And then I put him in self-defense training with David Presley. Just in case, you know what I'm saying? I just wanted the boy to be able to take up for himself. So we started praying about this every day. A few days later, again in the parking lot, I see one of these boys pushing his four-wheeler uphill because it wouldn't start. And this young man had a long way to go uphill. So I suggested to my son that we go see if we can help this young man start his four-wheeler. And as you can imagine, my son was not thrilled with the idea. But Dad, this is the guy. I said, let's just go for it. So as we approached the young man, I greeted him with respect, and I asked him if we could help him start his, if we could help him push start his four-wheeler. And after several tries, we got the four-wheeler started, and off he went. And we went home not knowing what would come of it, if anything. But we did know that we had obeyed the Lord. We did know that we had done what we felt like the Lord was leading us to do. And thankfully, one of those boys quit picking on my son. But the other one became his guardian angel. Literally. It didn't matter whether he was in town, whether he was at school. And even on the football field, I watched it. This kid's personal agenda was to protect my son. And ironically, he wasn't even the dude that we helped. He was the other guy. But in the end, whether it works out or not, whether it works out in our favor or not, God calls us to show love to our enemies. Most of the time, people that are doing those kinds of things anyway are desperate for love. And so God calls us to show love to our enemies with our words and with our actions. And last but not least, forgive and refuse to repay. Write that in your notes. Forgive and refuse to repay. Look back at verse 17. The Bible says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone, but respect what is right in the sight of all men. Never take your own revenge, but leave room for the wrath of God. Why? Because He's a righteous God. You and I are righteous in standing because the blood of Jesus has washed our sins away, but we're not righteous, practically speaking, in everyday life. But God is. So never take your own revenge. You're outside of the will of God. But leave room for the wrath of this righteous God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And I'm just going to close with this. What I'm sharing with you today is the only way to live in freedom. It's the only way to live in freedom. People whose hearts are weighted down with bitterness and resentment will never truly enjoy life. They will never truly be at peace, and they will always lack quality relationships with other people. Always. Because everybody sees it. Sometimes everybody sees it but me. When my heart is bitter and resentful, everybody sees it. It comes out. And it makes it impossible for me to have really solid, loving, quality relationships with other people. So forgive and get on with your life. I love what Rick Warren says. He says, the only person you're hurting with your resentment is you. Forgive and watch your sour heart begin to soar again. And remember, don't forget this. The only way to live in this kind of freedom, the only way to live this kind of life is to abide in Christ. That word abide means to remain intimately dependent upon. Only the Holy Spirit can empower us to obey Christ's commands. And that happens, the Bible says in John chapter 15, as we continue to abide in Christ and His Word abides in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. I thank You for the great lesson in verses 17 through 21. I thank You for the great time that I had with my family talking about these things and discussing these things this week, and what a joy that was. And Father, just help us to learn to abide in You, and for Your Word to abide in us, so that we can live this abundant life that You've called us to live and that You've provided for us if we'll follow You. And Lord, everything in the world says, don't do this. But Lord, we live in a world that's full of lies, full of false teachings. So help us to abide in Your Word, to abide in You, and Your Word to abide in us, so that we can genuinely and authentically love people, not have a love that's full of hypocrisy, that claims to love but's not true love, so that we can enjoy relationships with other people the way You've intended not as the world says we need to have relationships, because that's a messed up deal, but as you intend for us to have relationships with other people. And so, Father, once again, we thank you and we praise you for your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.